Well, again, it's good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning, and I am so excited to continue our series through the Gospel of Luke. As you just heard, today we're going to be in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you have a Bible and would like to open it there, or you can follow along on the handouts. And again, today's text is where Jesus calls his first disciples. Two quick reminders before we jump into the sermon. Again, today's passage and outline for the sermon are on the lyric handout. So if you did not get one of those and would like one, please raise your hands. And our greeters would love to come and bring you one now. And secondly, whenever we gather here, we also have sermon bingo cards for the kids. And so if you did get one of those and you would like one, raise your hand. I see one hand. Oh, he had one. He's just super excited that he had a bingo card. That's what it is. But if you'd like a bingo card, put two hands in the air. That way we know what to bring to each person. And so kids, whenever you hear a word that is on the bingo card, be sure to mark it off. Turn it in to Miss Amber and she'll give you a prize. Adults, we know that many of you like the bingo card. So again, if you want one, just put two hands in the air. We'd love to bring you one. But like we say each and every time we gather, the prizes are for the kids, not the adults, right? But you can still follow along. Now, as we kick things off this morning, I'd like to open with a question. And that's, what in your life would be worth dropping everything to chase after or to follow? Again, what in your life would be worth dropping everything to chase after or to follow? Kids, say you're playing outside. Maybe you're playing basketball, or perhaps you're jumping rope. And then suddenly you hear an ice cream truck, that little melody that you hear as they're going through the neighborhood. What would you do? Right? If you're anything like me, you drop everything that you're doing. You drop that ball, you drop that rope, and you would chase after that truck. Adults, maybe for you, it's relocating for a great job opportunity. Maybe moving closer to family. Perhaps moving to that dream destination city. For me and Lauren, that would be either Charleston or perhaps Sunset Beach. So again, what in your life would be worth dropping everything to chase after or to follow? Now, my follow-up question to that is why? Right? What makes it worth it? Why would you drop everything that you have, or perhaps everything that you are doing, to chase after that person, that thing, or that opportunity? Right? The reason that I'm asking these questions is because today we're going to see that Jesus is worth leaving everything to follow, because he is our greatest treasure. As a reminder, today we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus calls the first disciples. As we walk through the text, we're going to see a teaching on the lake in verses 1 through 3, a toiling on the lake in verses 4 through 7, and then a transformation on the lake in verses 8 through 11. Again, all of this is reinforcing today's main point that Jesus is worth leaving everything to follow, because he is our greatest treasure. I'm excited to explore this together as a church family. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive right in. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, let's dive right in. Again, open up your Bibles, follow along on the sheet. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 say this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, as I was reading this passage and preparing this sermon this week, I realized that lakes have actually played a bigger role in my life than I initially thought. For those who don't know, I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and when I was a kid, Lake Norman was a big deal. I mean, that is where everyone went to ride boats or jet skis all day long. As I got older, Lake Wylie became a very special place for our family. My aunt owned a boat, and we would go tubing and kneeboarding all afternoon on the water. Then later in college, my apartment was actually right across the street from Lake Johnson. And so I would go running and walking at that lake almost every day. But it's also where I proposed to Lauren. And thank God she agreed to marry me. Not to mention, where are we today? If you were to look over off to your left, what do you see? You can say it, or you can be interactive, right? It's a lake, right? And this lake, when you think about it, is very important for our church. Again, we gathered here for 10 months during COVID, this special, special memory of God's provision and God's care. Right, my point is that lakes have played a big part in my life, undoubtedly the life of our church, or perhaps even yours, but lakes also played a very important role in Jesus' life. If you were to survey the Gospels, you would see that Jesus often teaches at lakes. He performs miracles at lakes, like the feeding of the 5,000 and so forth. And in today's passage, we actually see both, do we not? Right, we see Jesus teaching, and we also see him perform a miracle. Luke begins by telling us that a crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear him teach, so much so that he decides to get into the boats and cast off into the water. He does so for two reasons. If you think about it, the first is to get separation, right? I mean, how many of you would like it if a crowd was trying to trample over you? So that's the first reason. But the second reason is actually for sound amplification. I mean, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have an audiovisual team. They didn't have Chris crushing it in the back. They didn't have speakers off to the sides. No, what Jesus would do then is go out on lakes of water, and as he was there and as he would speak, the voice would carry over the water, and it would allow a large amount of people to hear him off on the shore. But what we're also seeing here, right, is Luke's continued emphasis of Jesus' teaching ministry. All of this is reinforcing what Jesus said at the tail end of chapter 4. If you remember, I must, right? He told the crowds, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. If you look at the text, you also see Simon Peter again. This is very important for Luke, not only in his gospel, but also for the book of Acts, because Peter would go on to become the lead disciple and then eventual apostle over the early church. And so that's the first part of today's text, right? We're seeing this teaching on the lake in verses 1-3. It's kind of the opening context, and then it transitions us to verses 4-7, where we now see a toiling on the lake. Luke transitions by telling us, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we have toiled all night and we've took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. All right, my next question for you, especially after reading this text, when is the last time that you, like Simon Peter says here, toiled or worked really hard for a long time? Maybe some of you did yard work recently in this spring season, although recently it's felt like it's been winter more than spring, but perhaps you did a lot of tough work in your yard. I know some of you are runners, like Michelle and Amy just ran a half marathon yesterday. I don't know why they would do that. I pray for them each and every day, but you know, they've been working hard. They've been doing something for a very long time. So when is the last time that you, like Simon, worked really hard for a very long time? You see, the summer before I went off to college, I actually had a construction job. That job was laying storm and sewer pipe in new neighborhoods, and I am here to tell you it was very tough. We're talking about 100-plus degree days. I was manually digging holes in the ground, laying down these big pipes, and then manually cleaning them out when mud and dirt got in them, and it was tough, right? The difference, though, is that I got paid for my work, right? I mean, sure, it was anywhere from 8 to 12-hour days. It was very hot. It was very difficult. But at the end of each and every day, I still got paid. Now, the disciples, on the other hand, have been working all day long, but they've got nothing to show for it. Friends, we cannot forget that their livelihood is on the line. This is not just fish that they're putting on their table to eat. No, this is their salary. This is their income. Right? They are fishermen by trade, and they've caught zero fish. Okay, it's not a good day at the office. Then this Jesus of Nazareth continues to enter into the scene. He sees what's going on. He says, hey, Have you thought about putting your nets in the water to catch those fish? Right, now this would be analogous to you having a computer that's not working and your friend comes to you and says, have you tried to turn it on? Right, nonetheless, Simon obeys and just consider what happens next, right? Imagine this takes place on that lake right off to your left. Friends, these people go from catching no fish whatsoever to suddenly catching so many fish that their nets begin to break. I mean, allow this to come alive in your hearts and in your minds. Just imagine the noise. Imagine the sight of everything that's taking place. Tumultuous waters, fish jumping out of water, splashing everyone, the boats rocking back and forth, men on boats probably crying like little children, so excited. Just imagine the smell of so many fish. Right, in light of that, they're panicking. They call their buddies off on the side. They say, come, bring your boat. Help us catch all these fish. But there are so many fish that both of the boats begin to sink. Friends, I hope what we're feeling is that this scene is not a coincidence. It's not like there just happened to be fish by the boats all of a sudden. No, it's a miracle. Like, this is a miracle. It continues to show us, never forget it, that Jesus is God, right? That Jesus is God. He is all powerful. He's in control of all things, even the fish of the water. He's all knowing, right? Unlike the disciples, he knew that there were fish by the boat suddenly, and that's because he brought them there. Again, this continues to show us that Jesus is God. We actually see this reinforced with the third and final piece of our text. This is verses 8 through 11, which show us a transformation on the lake. Look at Simon's response. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. All right, my last question for you. What in your life would cause you to celebrate by raising your hands in the air? Maybe you're at an NC State football game and the Wolfpack score a touchdown on the final play of the game and your hands just go flying in the air. Maybe if you're a kid, you're at a Dude Perfect show and you're swaying your hands left and right to all of the things that you're doing. Maybe if you're an adult or a kid, you're at a music concert, right? Right? All of these things might cause you to raise your hands. Why? Because you're joyful. Now, on the other hand, what might cause you to fall on your knees? You see, when you think about it, that one's not as common, is it? And that's because falling on our knees symbolizes desperation or awe or perhaps even reverence to what you're seeing. And so knowing those two responses, which do we see from Peter here? Right? Do we see Peter raising his hands in celebration for catching all these fish, or does he get on his knees? That's right, he gets on his knees. But more than just what he does physically, what does he say? Right? He says, depart from me, for I am what? I am a sinful man. That's odd, isn't it? Peter's a fisherman. He's trying to catch fish. It's literally his livelihood. He's not caught fish all day, but now there's so many that he can't even contain them. Why would Peter respond in this way? You see, it's because Peter realizes that he's standing before God himself. All right, the point is that this passage is not just about the miracle of all of the fish, but rather it's what the miracle demonstrates about Jesus. That again, Jesus is God in the flesh. And so knowing that, knowing that Peter is now kneeling, lying down prostrate before God himself, look at how Jesus now responds to Peter. Right? Peter just fell down and cried out, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But what does Jesus say back? He says, do not be afraid. How gentle and how kind. But more than just compassionate words, we also see Jesus give an invitation. He says, from now on, you will be catching men, which at first sight sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? What does Jesus mean when he says that Peter's going to be catching men? Well, Jesus is essentially saying, as a fisherman, you have spent your entire life trying to get these fish into a net. But now, Peter, you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to get people into the kingdom of God. That is the transformation on the lake. Right? Fishers of fish have now become fishers of men. We see as much in verse 11. It really serves as the emphasis of the text. Like Luke ends by telling us that they, that's Peter, James, and John, they're the big three. They're the big three disciples and the first disciples. They left everything and they followed him. Friends, that's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Someone who is willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. Said another way, in a timeless main point, meaning that is just as true for you and me today, gathered here at the shelter, as it was for Peter some 2,000 years ago on the lake. Jesus is worth leaving everything to follow because he is our greatest treasure. Again, Jesus is worth leaving everything to follow because he is our greatest treasure. And while that may sound like a big or even hard thing to do, and it actually kind of is, but we ought to remember that Jesus does not call us to anything that he hasn't first done towards us and ultimately for us. Right? We should never forget that Jesus left everything for your salvation. He left the comforts of heaven. He became a man and he perfectly obeyed God the Father and died on the cross for you. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, we say this here often, but there is no worldview and there is no religion that is like this. The Christian faith is not about how you get to God, but how God literally dropped everything to come after you. Ultimately, what he did for you through the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is no better day than today, right now, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And for the followers of Christ, in light of what Jesus first did towards us, he now calls us to do the same. Right? Later in the Gospels, we see that he invites all of his disciples to pick up their cross. That means to leave behind or to die to our old selves and then to follow him. And so the only question that we have left to answer this morning is, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to leave everything and to follow Jesus? Well, it means that nothing is more important, right? Nothing is more important than Jesus. Kids, that means that no toy or no video game is no important. No sports team or competition is more important than Jesus. Adults, no job or hobby is more important. No material possession, no relationship, nothing, nothing, nothing of this world is more important than Christ. In fact, a good reflection question for all of us would be, if Jesus asked me to drop something to follow him, and I was hesitant or I was afraid to leave that person or thing, what might that reveal? Again, if Jesus asked me to drop something to follow him, but I was reluctant to do so, what might that reveal? See, what I hope we're feeling is that more than something that we just do, right? Like a list of do's or don'ts or behavior modification, this is ultimately about who we are following. We say this all the time. It's not a matter of if we're following something or someone, but who or what we are following, right? The reflective question is, what currently in my life am I willing to sacrifice other things for in order to follow or pursue it? And I hope what we're seeing this morning, I hope what we're learning is that Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. I mean, who else has done everything that we've seen in Luke chapters 3 and 4? Who else has resisted temptation and defeated Satan? Who else has proclaimed good news to the poor or brought liberty to the captives, gave sight to the blind, freed those who are oppressed, proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, cast out demons, healed the sick, or performed miracles like today? And friends, that's only two chapters, right? We have 20 more to go in Luke's gospel, all about the beauty and the grandeur of Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the greatest treasure. He's worthy of our lives. As such, let's leave everything and follow him together, becoming fishers of men and bringing as many people as we can into the kingdom of God. Jesus is worth leaving everything to follow because he is our greatest treasure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this shelter, what it's meant for our church over the years, this very tangible demonstration of your provision and Jesus's promise to build his church. And we're thankful that we get to come back here often to pause, to reflect, to remember, and ultimately to worship and glorify you. In light of today's passage and sitting right next to a lake just like today's passage, I pray that we would be reminded of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, being willing to leave everything behind and following him because he is our greatest treasure. I pray that you would help followers of Christ to become fishers of men. And I pray that you would open up hearts to receive the good news of the gospel, the beauty and the grandeur of Jesus Christ, our greatest treasure, who left everything in order to secure our salvation. We love you. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.